fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks on Friday, the 13th day of April, year of our Lord, 2018. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, there's no huge breaking news at the moment. The main breaking news, of course, is the ongoing crisis with Syria. The difference between what's going on now and when we invaded Iraq, when we invaded Afghanistan, when we invaded and took over Libya, or just basically destroyed Libya, I should say, is the involvement of the world powers. We did not go up against Russia and China on those other incidents, and that's who the players are this time, along with some of our NATO allies. So that's what's different there. That's why we need to be paying attention to it. Prepper tip for the day. It's a saying. I can't take credit for it. I first heard this saying from Jim Rawls, his website, survivalblog.com. And here's the saying. One is none, two is one. I say again, one is none, two is one. And it has to do with supplies and equipment, of course. And to a certain extent, people. How about that? We have patient waiting in the green room, my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom is a gentleman who began a quest more than half a century ago to become quite knowledgeable of all the many aspects of being an amateur radio operator, also called a ham radio operator, to the point where he is quite accomplished. And we talk about survival emergency communications on Friday morning's first hour. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Well, I got a quick Friday 13th story for you. This is how I regard Friday 13th to be a lucky day for me. I was a junior in high school playing football at Herculaneum High School. And on the Friday the 13th, we won our 13th game in a row, 13-12.
Well, that's a good one, John.
Yeah, so lining up all those 13s together, I thought was pretty phenomenal then and now. So I've always regarded Friday the 13th as a lucky day for me. Tom, I know you listen to Republic Broadcasting, as do many of our listeners. You pretty much stayed in tune with what's going on in the world. You heard just a moment ago how I was mentioning what's different about this potential attack on Syria that's being contemplated. What's different about this compared to the attack on the state of Iraq for no good reason, the state of Afghanistan for reasons that really don't amount to raise to the level of attacking an entire country, the destruction of Libya. What's different about this is the involvement of the world powers, Russia and China, their allies on one side, United States and whatever allies we have on our side. That makes this entirely different from those other scenarios, doesn't it, sir?
It really does, John. And if there's anybody interested in emergency communications, I think this is the time to get your equipment ready, operating, set up, tested, use it on a regular basis to be familiar with it. Because we don't know what's around the next corner.
Right. And when it's not being tested or used, which is going to be typically for most people, maybe a few minutes a month, it needs to be properly secured in a Faraday cage, doesn't it?
Yes, that's correct. And so many people will set up these Faraday cages, but they fail to consider the magnetic component of that energy field that would be radiated. And that that magnetic part really needs to be shielded by steel or what's called a mu metal, if you can afford that or can find some of that, that will shield the magnetic part. See, John, if that energy blast gets a current flowing through the metal, it will induce higher voltages and other currents within the equipment. And that's what causes a lot of the damage. And I really feel that the magnetic part is maybe even more important than the electrostatic blast that would come through, or the electrical blast. So all of that needs to be taken into consideration. And one of the best ways is maybe a file cabinet or metal trash cans, something like that, in addition to any other shielding that you may have set up.
Now, let's just start from the beginning, what it takes to protect this equipment. First of all, this may sound basic, but we make no assumptions here. My only assumption is people don't have a clue what we're talking about. This goes for any electronic equipment, not just radios, by the way. First of all, unplug it from whatever power source there might be, number one. Number two, disconnect the antenna, if it's a radio, obviously. Number three, make sure that the Faraday cage protects it both from the electrical part of the pulse and the magnetic part of the pulse. It's called EMP, electromagnetic, properly protected. Now from reading Dr. Pryor's report, the commission appointed by the government, these scientists and engineers, the mere act, or the mere two acts, I should say, of unplugging it from the power supply and disconnecting the antenna, that provides a lot of protection all by itself, doesn't it, Tom?
Oh yeah, yes. If you're disconnected from the antenna or any or power lines, you see when those are stretched out for miles or feet or hundreds of feet, they will capture a lot of that signal and direct it right into the equipment that you're trying to protect. So, just the act of disconnecting that equipment will make a huge difference. And there's a really good possibility that the equipment will survive without any shielding. There is a good chance of that. Some of the computer systems I've worked on, John, are built in metal cases, and they'll withstand a little bit more interference and things like that, and perhaps this electromagnetic pulse would be not so damaging to that type of equipment. And other types of computers are built in plastic cases. They may have more trouble if we have an EMP blast. But, of course, the antennas and the power lines are going to bring in most of it because they're stretched out, the power lines especially, stretched out for miles. And there are protection circuits on there, devices and circuits that will shunt lightning blasts and things like that to ground. But there's no guarantee that that won't get in the last leg of that transmission line and into your equipment. Now, some radio antennas are they're grounded, John. They're actually at a DC potential. They're DC grounded, and for RF, they're not grounded. But for electrical power, I'm trying to make this as simplistic as possible. Any electrical energy induced into that antenna will be grounded, such as static lightning. A direct lightning hit, well, there's no guarantee for that, but a distance lightning, maybe a half mile away or so, would be shunted to ground. That energy would be shunted all the way to ground, and your equipment stands a much better chance of surviving that. And the same would hold true for an EMP type of blast, and that energy would be shunted to ground. But not all antennas are like that. Some of them are usually the base station antennas, and any kind of a gain antenna is usually shunted to ground. So there's some help right there. But it's still a good idea to disconnect those antennas from the equipment. I keep my antennas disconnected and grounded all the time if I'm not using them.
That's absolutely. Well, I've had damage to my at my place, damage to a cordless telephone system. I had an antenna about 20 feet above the roof line for the cordless telephone. And prior to my really understanding the nature of how severe lightning can be, I had left the cordless telephone base station connected to that antenna. And we had a lightning storm, and it took out the base station for the cordless telephone system. It took out my electronic postal scale. I think maybe a couple of other small pieces of equipment, but lightning, and this is a heads up for everybody out there. These surge protectors that we now get, they're part of a power strip. They're engineered to protect electronic equipment from minor routine surges in the power grid. They are not meant to, and they will not protect against lightning, will they, Tom?
No, they won't. They may help a little bit, but usually only one time. And the best surge suppressors and protection, the best type is the gas tube. Many of these are, you'll see them advertised with MOV. Those are metal oxide varistors. And a lot of those are multiple use, though. They actually shunt the energy to ground, and then they replenish themselves, so they're new again and can work a second time. But they have a response time that I don't feel is as good as the gas tubes. The gas tubes are almost like a miniature fluorescent light bulb, something like that. I mean, they're full of a noble gas. I don't know what the gas is. I think some of them are xenon, and they may be argon. I don't remember. But the ones I use are used by telephone companies. They're made in a ceramic housing. And when they do testing on these, Western Electric tested these things with a high voltage pulse that would go for minutes at a time, and these things would be glowing orange. The white ceramic housing would have a dull orange glow. So, I mean, they were very, very hot, and they held up to that for continuous flow of that energy. So they're the best, and that's what I use on telephone lines and on antenna circuits. And I also use a very simple, but for any kind of a lightning blast that's off in the distance, if you're using the equipment at the time, and this is for receiving antennas only. This will not work on a transmitting antenna, but it's called an NE2, Nancy Edward number 2, and that's a small neon light bulb, and that works quite well just to drain off any kind of a large static charge or anything that may be in the vicinity. It'll take care of that right away. But if you're transmitting into that circuit, into that antenna circuit with an NE2 bulb, well, that bulb will light up and drain off some of your transmit power. So it's not a good idea to use those on a transmission line just for receiving.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, a lot of what we're saying here is pretty esoteric to the average person who's never been involved in ham radio or use of electricity in any serious way. And I understand that, and I appreciate that. You're sitting there thinking, what in the world are these guys talking about? You don't need to know this right now. What you do need to do is get involved in your local ham radio club. You'll meet men and women who understand what Tom and I are talking about. You'll meet men and women who can teach you what Tom and I are talking about. You'll meet men and women gladly ready to share their information, help you get your ham radio license, and also have access to high-quality equipment. One of the things that takes place in almost all these ham radio clubs is the buying and selling, swapping back and forth of high-quality ham equipment at way below market value. Right, Tom?
Well, it goes on all the time, and of course, during the summer, they have the Ham Fest. They're year-round events, John, but the outdoor ones, of course, are in the summer, spring, summer, and fall. And that's where you can meet a lot of interesting people and pick up some pretty nice equipment. Somebody might be selling some of their equipment that's operating and usable, but they're upgrading to something bigger and better, and they want to sell it. So you can save some money and purchase equipment that way. You have to do your shopping and know what you're looking at. Maybe take somebody along that's more knowledgeable on it. If you're shopping and you're not absolutely certain about what you're purchasing, have somebody else that maybe has some experience with that can help you. That's a good way to get your first equipment when you're initially getting your ham radio station set up, is to go to a ham fest. And if you go to the American Radio Relay League, I believe it's ARRL.org, they have a listing of all the various ham fests. They have a calendar that shows all of them nationwide, so it's not a problem at all to find out where these are happening. And they're normally on the weekend, and sometimes they're a one-day event, sometimes they're the whole weekend. And you can
Absolutely.
Meet a lot of interesting people and find the equipment you're looking for, and a lot of parts. And sometimes you can find old, obsolete equipment that they're almost giving away. And in many cases, they are giving it away. They'll have a sign on it. It's free. Take it. And you'll find all kinds of parts and bits and pieces in there that can be recycled and used for other projects. So that's a good idea, too.
Right, right. Well, the first step is to locate that local ham radio club. Typically, they meet once a month, typically in a restaurant with reasonable prices for food that's easy to get to. There's a social aspect to this. There's a fun aspect to it. People are frequently intimidated by anything involving technology, especially older people. In fact, the average age of ham radio people, I think, is in the mid-60s, isn't it, Tom?
That's about right, John. You know, the ham operators in the old days, I got into it in the late 1967. So computers weren't really a big thing in those days. That came in about 10 years later. A lot of my ham buddies actually dropped out of ham radio and got into computers, and some of them have become multimillionaires because they got in very early and learned about it. But so before that, John, the ham radio operators were the geeks and the nerds. Yeah, they weren't computer nerds, but they were. If you were a ham operator, you were considered some sort of a tech geek or
right.
something
right.
along those lines. Yeah. And then, of course, right. that transferred over to all the computer equipment and everything.
Right, right. Those are the guys in high school that had a holster on the side of their belt with a slide rule hanging down half to their knee.
Yeah, a slide rule and, in later years, a calculator. Yes.
Right.
I did
well,
have a slide. I had a post-slide rule.
Did you have a holster on your belt that had hung down towards
nope.
your knee?
No, I didn't carry it around with me, but I did use it. I used it at home, and a lot of the calculations that were required for to figure out the resonance circuits and inductance on coils and things like that had to use that slide rule. I mean, the calculations were rather complex. Of course, when calculators came out, that made it so much easier. Matter of fact, John, my first calculator was a Texas Instruments, and I remember buying it at I believe it was a Target store.
Uh-huh.
Well,
uh-huh.
I'll finish that story when we come
Okay, after the break. We'll be back. Everybody stay tuned. The call number is 800-313-9443.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. It's taken 3 years before I could offer the InterShelter domes for sale. During those 3 years, several different governments and militaries were taking all their production. The InterShelter Dome homes may be just what you've been looking for to provide affordable, energy-efficient, permanent, and attractive housing. These dome homes are prefabricated units that can be assembled in a few hours by two men with a ladder and simple hand tools. Check out the photos of these dome homes built in the Arctic, on tropical beaches, in suburban areas, and in forests. All the details, many photographs, and the pricing of the dome homes are listed on the left-hand side of my homepage at thelibertyman.com. I think you'll find these homes are not only attractive, but they're energy efficient and a bonus. You can disassemble them and reassemble them as many times as you feel you need the need to. Pretty great, huh? Something that's very, very unique. Check them out at my website at thelibertyman.com. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 13th day of April, visiting with Tom Berryhill. We're talking about emergency survival communications. Tom, let's go ahead and wrap up that story you started before the break.
Well, it's just getting away from the slide rules, John. I used those for several years, and then it was about 1970. It wasn't a Target store. It was a Venture. Do you remember the Venture store that was in Kirkwood?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, well, they had an ad in the local Post-Dispatch newspaper. They had a sale on a newly released affordable Texas Instrument calculator. So I had a girlfriend at the time, and she was with me, and we were going to go out to a show or something. And I said, we got to stop by this Venture store for a minute. Went in there to buy that thing. And I'll tell you, John, I was so overwhelmed at the capabilities of this calculator. We sat in the car after we got out of that store, and boy, she was angry. She says, why don't you just take me home? I can see that you're more interested in that stupid calculator. And I said, well, if you really want to go home. So I did. I took her home. She didn't talk to me for a week. which was fine because that gave me plenty of time to learn about that calculator. And, you know, they should, that venture store should have paid me commissions because I dragged in almost all of my buddies, my ham radio buddies and electronic associates and so on, got them in there, and they all bought those things. We bought them out. Their stock was completely sold out in a few days from the people I dragged in there. And I think the thing was at the time, this is 1974, and I think that thing was maybe $30. That was quite a bit in 74, but it was well worth it. And it had a Pi key on there, you know, so you had Pi and it had a single memory. But that was such a leap forward for anybody in my situation. I was doing calculations and design work and things like that. Something that affordable was just almost unheard of.
Well, that was,
you know, I finally wore that thing out.
It was Ross Perot's company, Texas Instruments, and that was certainly, at the time, like you said, cutting edge. And I recall probably 10 or 12 years later that men and women in the active duty army, in artillery, they were buying off-the-shelf calculators. This would have been around 1988 or so, that were so superior to anything the military had that they were using these off-the-shelf calculators in artillery and, of course, with tanks. With tanks are basically mobile artillery to do their calculations in a fraction of the time compared to what the Army had them doing with pencil and paper. So that was an exciting time to be around technology, wasn't it, Tom?
Oh, it really was. It really was. And then, of course, in that same time frame, John, we were building repeater systems, and that's I had one on the air, and then I constructed the second system that we did put on a very tall building in Clayton, Missouri, which is the county seat for St. Louis County. We had a tremendous range with that system. It was a very high-powered repeater, and it operated on the 450 megahertz band, and we had it interconnected to the telephone system. So we had pocket phones, like portable phones that we carry in our pocket, long before cell phones existed. And it worked great. And that calculator helped with a lot of the calculations that had to be done to set up the antenna system and some of the various things that we had to get set up for that repeater. So, yeah, it was an exciting time to be messing with all this stuff. And now so much of it is just plug and play. It's so much easier to set these systems up and do this type of work today than ever before. And we would have, back then, John, we would have never dreamed that these cell phones that are so tiny and just slide in your pocket would be available. We had no idea that something like that would be in the future. We were surprised at our own system, you know, as to how well it worked. And we thought that was cutting edge. And it was in a way, but for the time. But nobody dreamed about what we have today. And now the cell phones you have today, there's a good engineering calculator built in every phone.
That's right. Well, I recall the first generation cell phones, they were the size of a carton of cigarettes, slightly bigger, actually, in terms of width. And very heavy. They probably weighed 2.5-3 pounds, and they cost, I believe, $3,000. And there was, other than city centers of major cities, there was no place you could even use these things, despite being big and heavy and expensive. Once you got more than 5 or even 10 miles away from the center of St. Louis, for example, it was basically a heavy paperweight is all it was. So things have changed dramatically in that regard. And I recall the attorney I worked with, Mr. Shaw, he had one of those first generation cell phones. And it was a status symbol to have a telephone that you could carry around with you and talk on. About the size and weight of a World War II walkie-talkie is about how big these and heavy these things were. Here's our bottom of the hour break. Call number is 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We're continuing our Energy Cleaner promotion, which began August of 2016. In this promotion, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner, $70 off retail, and a mattress pad, 10% off retail. $200 of the purchase price of the Energy Cleaner goes to Republic Broadcasting. This is a great way to help get Energy Cleaners out to people who need them and have some financial issues to deal with. And, of course, a great way to support Republic Broadcasting. Here's what you do. Send in a postcard. My address is John Moore, P.O. Box 201, Davidsville, Missouri. We pick a postcard every 2 weeks. If your postcard is drawn, you get the chance to buy the Energy Cleaner $70 off retail and 10% off the mattress pads. Put your name and your address, your telephone number and your email address on the postcard, and we wish you the best of luck. Thank you.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday the 13th, day of April. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. We, as of yesterday, it's not posted yet, but I've received a new image of North America with new coastlines, and we will have that posted hopefully in a day or two. My webmaster's having some computer issues, but it's a fascinating project. Check out all those images. They've been right in front of us now for more than 60 years. Images of the continents with new coastlines, going back to, like I say, more than 60 years ago. If you want to participate, I encourage you to. Just pay careful attention when you're watching movies and television shows. Careful attention for images of continents with new coastlines. If you find one, get that screen capture to me. As a thank you, you get your choice of any of my 5 DVDs. It's a fun project, and there was a serious side to it, of course, and that's the psychological warfare side of it. Also, my website, of course, you'll find Energy Cleaner for sale. I'm still playing catch-up from the Easter sale, taking delivery of one of the largest deliveries I've had in the past 3 years of mattress pads in the next couple of days. I need to reconfigure the mattress pads, get these orders boxed up and shipped out. I apologize, but the sale was a lot more successful than I anticipated. But that's good. That's a good thing. more people are going to get their lives back. Check out the Energy Cleaners at my website. We focus on arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, which affects about one-third of all Americans, by the way. Not getting a great night's sleep, there's another percentage. If you don't get relief with the Energy Cleaner, listen up. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you're risking nothing when you buy your Energy Cleaner. It's fun to use PayPal to buy the Energy Cleaner and the mattress pads that go with it. PayPal is the most secure way to make any payment online. It's handy. It's a handy thing to have and make use of. You can send money to your friends and get money from friends with PayPal. MasterCard, Visa, you can send me a check. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. So check out everything there. Make your decision for the Energy Cleaner, for the mattress pad to go with it. And you can call my toll-free order line. Here it is, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Visiting with Tom Berryhill. Tom is graciously making himself available to help people. That's what Tom's doing. He's got other things to be doing on any given Friday morning, running his business. But he takes out this time every Friday to help people get ready because he knows what's coming. I know what's coming. Many of you also know what's coming. And to get ready in advance, it's better to be a year too early than a day too late, isn't it, Tom?
Oh, yeah, John, it really is. And, you know, funny thing, you mentioned Charlie Shaw. I used to go to the restaurant where him and his airplane buddies went every morning because that restaurant was it was in the hotel down the street from my office and right next across the highway from the Chrysler plant. You know the place, John. And,
I know.
Yeah, I think Charlie went there every morning, and there was always these two other guys with him. And they all had those cell phones, those big cell phones. They parked them on the table right in front of them. And, you know, Charlie Shaw didn't know how to whisper. Boy, he'd get on that phone and he'd be yelling into that thing. It was fun.
Oh, yeah.
But one time, I didn't talk to him that much, but I was at the next table. And it was kind of humorous because the ringtones, they heard the ringtone. It was my phone, but I had it in my suit pocket. And it was the same ringtone that those phones had, and all three of those guys looked at their phones. They couldn't figure out which one was ringing because it wasn't lighting up, and I pulled one out of my pocket. I had just purchased this thing, John. It was the first Motorola flip phone. But, you know, I was making multi-layer printed circuit boards in those days.
Right, right.
And we did some... there's still non-disclosure. I guess those things never expire, but so I won't name the company, but... We did deal with three different companies that were developing cellular technology, and we made the printed circuits for them. And when the one was Motorola, and when that phone came out, I remember it was the first flip phone, and that was I bought that in June of '89. John, that thing was $3,721. I still have the invoice, and I was cleaning some stuff out. Yeah, that's how much that, and in fact,
oh, yeah.
The Motorola sales office was up there in Sunset Hills, just up the road near Kirkwood. And the sales manager in that office delivered that phone to my office personally. He said, "I just want to shake your hand because I don't know how you did it." He said, "This is the 11th one that was released for sale to the public." And he says, "You have one before George Fisher. You got one of these things before George Fisher got his hands on." He was the CEO of Motorola at the time. So that guy just wanted to know, and I showed him around, you know, our operation there, and the guy was in awe of what we were doing. So he says, "Well, that was your connection." I got in early on that, and Charlie Shaw saw that thing, and he went bonkers, John. And he said, "Can I see that?" When I got off of that call, I handed it. He said, "You mind if I make a call?" I said, "Go ahead, Charlie." So he called his office or somebody and talked for a minute. He said, "I got to have one of these." So. Again, I should have gotten a commission, but I got him in touch with the sales guys up there at the Motorola office, and I'm assuming he bought one. I'm sure he probably
did. Likely he did, and a couple of follow-up things. First of all, that restaurant where you had breakfast every morning, I worked undercover in that hotel in the summer of 1973.
Wow.
And... yeah, that was my first undercover assignment. And Mr. Shaw, for those who don't know, if you most Americans, especially those over age 50, have seen the film The Great Escape. Mr. Shaw, that movie was based on what Mr. Shaw did in World War II. And Steve McQueen's character was based on what Mr. Shaw did in real life, which was be captured and escape from five different Nazi POW camps during World War II. Mr. Shaw left the Army Air Force at the end of World War II, went to law school, became a criminal defense attorney, and for more than three decades was voted by his peers, other attorneys, as the best criminal defense attorney in Metro St. Louis. And very flamboyant. He always wore his cowboy boots, cowboy hat, Western suits, drove his Ferrari back and forth to work, flew his aircraft sometimes to the different venues where he would have legal matters taking place. I recall walking, of course, I was his trial assistant the last 7 years of his career before he died in September. He died the Friday before September 11, 2001. Had congestive heart failure. But he was quite a flamboyant and well-known character around Metro St. Louis for decades, wasn't he, Tom?
Oh, yeah, he was. You know, John, back in the 60s, my dad was in the insurance business with AAA, and he talked many times about being in the courtroom with Charlie Shaw. Of course, he was on the opposing side, but it would be in some major accident situations. Charlie, I guess, only took on the real big ones. He was one of the best around St. Louis. Probably, I would almost say, the best from what I've heard.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. He was something else. But I didn't know him that well. My dad knew him, but, you know, they would acknowledge each other, but that's as far as it went because my father was always on the other side, you know, the opposing side with the insurance company. But he had some interesting stories to tell about Charlie Shaw in the courtroom. And when I told my dad about Charlie checking out that flip phone that I had, you know, and how loud he was, he says, yeah, he was always loud like that. He was very effective in that court setting. But, yeah, Charlie Shaw was an interesting guy. I guess they always met there because that was a good place to go, and it was right by the industrial park. That's why I went there. And then right down the street was at Weiss Airport. I'm assuming he flew his plane out of that airport.
Well, yeah.
John, you mentioned that.
Right, he did.
That cowboy hat. I always describe Charlie as that hat was like that Billy Jack hat. You know, it was a different kind of
It was a Stetson. He wore a Stetson is what he wore. And of course, Weiss Airport was right there. And when Weiss shut down, they moved their breakfast place to Kirkwood, just a few miles away, where I would join him for breakfast myself. And we would talk about various cases, murder cases we were working on. And it was always interesting to meet with him and his buddies and have breakfast and talk about murder. Let's move on from there. We don't know what will happen. We know what could happen. World War III is certainly not a far-fetched concept as we speak. The major powers coming together in the Eastern Mediterranean. In fact, earlier this week there was a notice to airmen issued. That's a NOTAM. November Oscar Tango Alpha Mike NOTAM issued stating the following, that there was going to be a jamming of aviation radio frequencies and missiles flying through the air in the Eastern Mediterranean. So at that point, generally, there's basically three kinds of aviation. There's military aviation, which is obviously the military. There's general aviation, which is all other aviation except commercial aviation, where people are paying money to ride on an airplane. And then there's commercial aviation, where people pay money to sit on an airplane and ride somewhere. So we can be sure that general aviation and commercial aviation in the Eastern Mediterranean was paying very careful attention to the NOTAM that was issued, and I don't know if it's been renewed or not. I haven't checked into it. It's public record. Tim Spencer gets these alerts, by the way. He's signed up to get the alerts for NOTAMs. I'm not signed up for them. But that's when you're jamming the aviation radio frequencies and have the possibility of missiles flying, that certainly is right at the edge of open conflict, isn't it, Tom?
Oh, it really is. That's really, I'm glad you mentioned that, John. I know we spoke about this the other day. I didn't want to bring it up unless you did, but that's a very critical thing when you start messing with the communications systems on aircraft. That's very critical. I wonder if they're messing with the navigation equipment. Are they doing anything with that?
Well, it's once the jamming gets underway, most likely the jammers would do anything and everything that would disrupt their enemy and not cause harm to themselves. So I don't know what all they were doing, and I don't know if the NOTAM has been reissued. It would be interesting to know that. Now we're not talking some internet YouTube commentator here with a NOTAM. This is a from a government agency. The Federal Aviation Administration is not some fly-by-night, no pun intended, group of people making things up because they feel like it. The Federal Aviation Administration, along with the other aviation administrations in other countries, these are serious men and women who take things very seriously. What they do is literally a matter of life and death, literally, not figuratively. So when there's something like that issued, I stand up and pay attention that a NOTAM was issued. Like I said, I don't know if it's been renewed or not. It's something I'll be looking into before the end of the day to see if the NOTAM has been reissued. But people need to be aware of this. They need to plan accordingly. The Russian government has been warning their own people to prepare bunkers stocked with food and water. They're doing that as we speak right now in Moscow and Leningrad and St. Petersburg and so forth. Getting ready, warning their own people to get ready. There's no warnings going out of that nature here in the United States. Now, we did have some similar warnings in Hawaii a few weeks back concerning North Korea's threats. But there's been no warning of that nature to the lower 48 that I'm aware of. Are you, Tom?
No, it's amazing. I don't know what to say about it, John, but we're kind of on our own. So as far as communications goes, though, I say this is a time to get your equipment in place. You really, at a minimum, need to have VHF FM, which would be the 2-meter ham radio band, 144 to 148 megahertz. The aircraft band you're talking about that would be jammed most likely would be between the FM broadcast band, which ends at 108 megahertz, and then it extends up to almost to the 2-meter ham radio band. I believe it's about 136 megahertz. So in that range is where most of the aircraft will operate. And then some of the military aircraft, though, operates at higher frequencies. They cannot operate on all of them, but they're up around between 230 or 40 and 300-something megahertz is where a lot of the military traffic would be, as well as other frequencies. They operate on all of them. But I'm assuming that's what they were jamming, and that's where you'd have to pay attention. So the ham radio bands are right in those same ranges. I really think that the best equipment to have in an all-out bad situation when it's really hitting the fan would be the HF equipment that covers right above the AM broadcast band up to 30 megahertz. That would be very wise to have equipment that operates in that range, because that's going to give you not only local coverage, but it will give you regional coverage 24 hours a day, as well as international if need be. I think most people would be interested in what's going on in their local area, as well as on a regional basis, say your own state and the adjoining states. You would be interested in that, and that would be just easy to do. I mean, you could talk to these people, and then, of course, that same ham radio equipment that operates in the HF spectrum can be used as a very high-quality shortwave receiver, and you could listen to shortwave broadcasts from foreign countries. And that's many times, John, you know as well as all of the RBN listeners, the foreign broadcasts will have some of the most truthful information that's available. So the ability to listen to those broadcasts without internet, without any cell phones, without any other infrastructure would be very, very important. And almost all of this ham radio equipment operates on 12 volts, so it's easy to set up a battery-operated power supply. In my case, I use two deep cycle batteries that are connected in parallel, and that gives me quite a bit of power available for long periods of time. You only use a lot of power with your ham equipment when you transmit. So I back that
That's
up
right.
with a charger, and it's charged at all times and ready for use.
There we go. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday the 13th of April, visiting with Tom Berryhill. Yes, we're talking about emergency survival communications. Think about that. Emergency survival communications. Without exception, for decades, every major incident we've had in this country, 9/11/01, Hurricane Katrina, various other storms and natural disasters and so forth. When everything else breaks down, the last man standing steps up to the plate as the ham radio operators, and communications get through when nothing else happens because of the amateurs who buy equipment with their own money, pay for the training themselves, and have everything set up with no government help. That's what comes through when all the expensive gee whiz Star Wars technology the government pays for stops working. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's 100% true, John. And, you know, if there was an all-out conflict, I have a feeling that they would shut down ham radio. The federal government would say it's you guys are off the air. I don't think in today's society they'd be able to enforce it, but I know in World War II, all amateur radio activity was suspended until after the war. So I'm assuming it would happen again. But there is so much of that equipment floating around, and I think these guys would just get on the air anyway. Maybe not use their call sign. I don't know. But you would have the ability to communicate at great distances, especially with this HF equipment. I think it's imperative that anybody that has an interest in this get that type of equipment right now. And also keep in mind, I know, John, you would agree with this, that portable equipment that's low power and battery operated that could be taken into the field and deployed quickly by just throwing a wire up over a tree branch and setting the equipment up at a temporary location. And a simple setup like that would actually give you the ability to communicate for hundreds of miles, day and night, and even internationally under good conditions. But you would cover your entire local area and regional area with a setup like that that could be used out in the field. And I think it's important to take that into consideration.
It is.
Right now.
It is, absolutely. Well, we're down to the last minute here, Tom. Our goal, my goal, and your goal on these Friday mornings, first hour, is to educate, inform, and most important of all, listen carefully, motivate people to take action, to stop procrastinating, find out where that local ham radio club is, start attending those meetings, start studying to take the ham radio test, I should say, and then go ahead and acquire equipment, beginning with a mobile unit, not a handheld unit, but a mobile unit, because of the power and the range you've got with a mobile unit, which also can be used as a base unit, by the way, with a power supply. And get started on this, and it can become a family hobby. We routinely have 8-year-old boys and girls passing these tests. It's not that hard. It requires a little bit of study. Right, Tom?
That's it. You hit
okay.
It, John. It's simple.
Tom, thank you. We'll be in touch privately. Appreciate the help. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, John.
Okay, that's it for this hour. We got Dr. Phil Myers coming up. Stand by.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.